Good morning and welcome into Pete's Talk. This is our town. I'm Chris Johnson, your host, and in the studio with me this morning is the Honorable Sibley Reynolds. Good morning, Sibley.
Good morning, Chris.
Sibley has been serving for quite a few years and as our circuit judge and has just recently retired, but Sibley is no stranger to the community, been here all his life, and family's been involved in the court system pretty much way back, about as far back as you want to go to great-great-great-granddaddy, probably. And so, Sibley, tell us a little bit about how retirement life is.
Well, so far, I haven't had a day or a week that I haven't had some obligation still with the court system. I'm still doing at least one day a week, finishing up cases that were assigned to me before I retired that I retained, trying to finish them up.
Just can't get loose from them, huh?
Well, I haven't pushed it too much because it gives me something to do, but I still have a few things that I need to finish up.
You mean Rhonda doesn't have plenty of things for you to do?
Rhonda Reynolds has plenty of things for me to do, and I check those boxes before I do anything else.
Those are the important ones. If the wife ain't happy, nobody's happy.
That's right. That's the way that works. Well, but she's still going to the elementary school too, yeah. Even though she's been retired a good while.
Well, when you're in the teaching profession, you never get out of that.
Right.
That's kind of, I guess, probably like the legal system. Well, how many years did you serve as our circuit judge?
30. I went in January of 93.
Man, time
and
place.
I was served 30 years to January of 23. So that I went into the position that was newly created and established for to be filled from Chilton County back in 91. They added it, and I went through the election in 92. It had to be filled from Chilton County. Now, right now, the legislature has got a bill to add two more judges to the 19th Circuit, one to be filled in November of 24, and one to be filled in November of 26. So that'll put us up to five circuit judges if that bill passes.
And there's still not enough judges to take care of the docket, is it?
Well, that'll certainly help. This county, this circuit, is the busiest circuit in the state. There are more cases per judge assigned here in this circuit than anywhere else in the state. Actually, we probably have four times as many cases per judge than they do in Jefferson County.
Just out of curiosity, and you may or may not know the answer to this, I suspect you probably do, but from the time somebody gets a case that is to go before the circuit court, how long does it take before it actually makes it through the system?
If you're thinking like a run of the mill car wreck case where you ask for a jury trial, it could be 18 months.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a divorce, it could be as little as 3 months. It could be as much as a year.
And a murder a little faster.
Well, murder cases are that you have to tend to those a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Your run of the mill burglary theft case that could. After indictment, you could be completed with it in 3 or 4 months, but the long time is between the dates that the grand jury is called into order. So that's the slow part. Of course, if it's a drug case, you got to wait for forensic science to get a report back to law enforcement to confirm if it was what kind of illegal substance it was.
A lot of people think the wheels of justice move real slow, but there's just a lot of cogs in those wheels.
There's lots of cogs. There's lots of cogs.
And you start getting, all the ducks lined up, so yeah. To speak. And if you don't, if it's a case that the state's making or the county's making, if they don't have all their ducks lined up, then somebody that was a bad guy gets loose on some technicality,
that could happen.
And it's all a waste.
That could happen.
All right. Well, you were like me. You kind of grew up around the courthouse. It's interesting you started your judgeship in 93. That's when I started my teaching career, was in 93. and started that career on up in age, and you did too. Of course, you were an active attorney before you became judge.
Practiced law with my dad for 11 years before I went on the bench. And actually, my dad told me that when I went on the bench, he was going to leave the practice of law and go home. Well, he didn't. And he continued actively practicing at the office there for the next 10 years, and then he slowed down. And he actually, after we closed the office down, or he closed the office down, he did probate work from home. So he practiced law for a long time.
That's like any profession. You get in it, that's one of those things that's got to be in your blood, and kind of like radio. It gets in your blood and you can't get it out.
Well, he didn't have any interest other than being at home with my mother, or being at the church, or being at the office. He didn't play golf, he didn't play tennis, he didn't fish, he didn't hunt. That was his life.
And he put a lot into it. He serves as attorney for the city of Clanton.
He was the county attorney,
I think, one time.
He was the school board's attorney for a while. He was the hospital board.
It was a board
secretary
then.
For since its inception.
Yeah.
He and Johnny McKinney were the two employees of the hospital board for 50 years. And then when he left from that, I became the hospital board secretary, and then that morphed into being the secretary of the healthcare authority,
which we're going to talk about a little bit in just a minute.
Okay.
Your family history goes way back. My granddad was a circuit clerk in the courthouse when I was little, and when the courthouse was built, and of course your dad was an active attorney, and your dad's dad was a attorney.
That's correct.
Your dad's dad was a judge, right?
That's right. My dad was Morgan. His dad was Grady. Grady started practicing law in 12. He graduated from the University of Alabama Law School in 12, came back here and started practicing law, and then his brother Omer came into the law practice in 22, and then my dad in 48 after the war. Then before Grady, L.H. was the probate judge for 24 years during a 34-year period back in the late teens. So, yes, the Reynolds family's been here
a while. And you were like me. You're one of those little kids that tagged along, was running all over the courthouse. So, I don't know. You remember the old courthouse?
I do not.
You're a little bit young for that. I remember it, but very, very barely.
The new courthouse was built, occupied in 61, so it was built in probably 1960.
Yeah.
And the old courthouse was not torn down until after the new courthouse was occupied. And I was born in 56, so I really don't remember that.
Well, I got 3 years on you. So I barely remember. Of course, my granddad was a circuit clerk in the old courthouse. I remember going into his office. It was the front office, right on the other side, where the current courthouse is side. And I vaguely remember the old courthouse and going upstairs to the old courtroom. I do remember very well the new courthouse being built, because we go over there after church on Sundays and go up the construction steps and look where the new office was going to be. I remember the thing that was amazing to me was the dumbwaiter that went between the clerk's office and the sheriff's office.
Yes, well, it's still there. I don't know how much they use that now, but it was there.
They wouldn't let me ride in it.
Well, I tell a story periodically. I've got some photographs of the first trial in the courthouse that we have now. My dad was trying a case, and there were 12 jurors sitting in the box, and what's odd is they took a picture of the Chilton County bar. All the lawyers and the judges are in the picture, but the jury's sitting in the box. So you realize that it's all men. So here, that was in 1961, so you fast forward to present day. Until about 2 years ago, you could tell where all of those men had leaned up against the paneling, because it was a greasy spot behind the 6 chairs on the back. And I'm telling you, there was a greasy spot because every one of them used Brill Cream or Vitalos. They finally got it cleaned off and revarnished it, so you can't tell it as much. But that's a pretty, to me, that's a pretty neat story.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Well, let's jump over to what we mentioned earlier, the health care authority, which has been real important to our county. You know, you mentioned your dad was and Johnny McKinney were on the hospital board, the original hospital board, when the hospital was built on Late Am Road. The original hospital was up on 5th Avenue North. That's where I was born. And not too long after I was born, they decided to build a new hospital. And that hospital was built, and that's the one that your dad and Johnny McKinney were board members of for the whole duration of it.
That's right. That was the old Hill Burton Hospital, the one-story one that is now there where the church is.
Yeah.
But the hospital board operated on the building and operated the hospital for a long time, actually hired and fired the administrators, eventually sold it, and it jumped around from different owners until it went completely under. It went into receivership through the efforts of the Chilton County Hospital Board, and that closed that down. And then we ended up having a realization event that the board's job is to be sure we've got some kind of health assistance, medical assistance. So after the hurricane or the tornado hit Tuscaloosa, we realized we had to do something and got in touch with St. Vincent's to see if we had a catastrophic event in Chilton County, like the emergency room was eliminated, like if it was hit, would we get some help? You know, thinking we could get some mobile units, double wide, set up something and have them get some assistance from St. Vincent's. And we started having a dating relationship with St. Vincent's, and that's where the talk started from. Not having a hospital to let's build a hospital.
And that was a little touchy time there when we didn't have a hospital.
It was. And of course I met with the healthcare authority now, of course the previous was the hospital board. We met with some of our legislators and representatives, and the local ones knew exactly what we were talking about, but like we had senators that didn't live here. Yeah. And when we met with them, I had an opportunity to tell one, I don't know what you do at night when you go to bed, but what I do at night, I know exactly where my keys are in case there's an event during the nighttime, because we're going to have to decide which way we're going to start driving.
Yeah,
if there's, because you can't wait for the ambulance, you can't wait for the fire department to get there, you've just wasted a few minutes. You need to pack them up and start driving one way or the other. If you live in Alabaster, if you live in Calera or Birmingham, 7 minutes, you're at the hospital. You know, we've got a 20 or 25 minute ride either way we go.
Without the hospital.
So that was,
you know, that's just for you thinking about normal stuff. Let's say somebody in the family has a heart attack or a serious fall or an automobile accident, but then you have a catastrophic event like a tornado comes through, then we're really up the creek without any medical assistance.
That's right.
So hats off to the healthcare authority for getting active and getting us a hospital where we at least have somewhere where there can be a trauma center in the event of any kind of catastrophe.
Yep, and we're very, very glad we got the relationship with St. Vincent's in order to have our hospital, to get it established and get legs and get traction itself. It's really doing well now.
And so far, yes, it's doing well. We have we hear real good comments from the hospital. Of course, no matter what you do or what kind of business you're in or what kind of service you provide, you're going to have those naysayers that say, oh, that was the office place, the office experience, whatever. But if you talk to 100 people, you're going to find 98 of them that had a good experience, and the first two that had a bad experience. And those two probably had a bad experience anywhere they went.
I'm out in the county. I'm out around people a good bit, and some of the naysayers have come up to me and said, "I was one of the people that was against that. I didn't want a 1 cent sales tax. I didn't want us to be burdened with that." And he said, "I was out there with my dad, and it was a godsend to have that hospital where it is, and as nice as they were to us, and the care that my father got there." And he said, "I want to tell you, I was against it, but I was wrong." So I don't think anybody has missed their 1 cent sales tax.
No. And, you know, and two, people have to realize none of us like to spend money that we don't have to spend. You don't, I don't, nobody does. But if you want services, you have to pay for it. They'll say if you're going to dance, you got to pay the bill. And it costs money to operate these things and have them operate. And yes, St. Benson, you know, is a profit-making organization, but if they had to build that building and underlie every bit of the expense, it would have been nowhere near right. feasible for them to do.
That's right. So the healthcare authorities wants to do anything they can to make this hospital sustainable. There's an area in that hospital, they call it the clinic area. It's kind of like a condominium where you can rent space by the day or by the week. That's where we have had the orthopedic doctors there, the heart doctors there. I think there might be a dermatologist that comes in periodically. And the healthcare authority is right now, within the next few weeks, planning on starting a medical office building that will sit immediately adjacent to the hospital. And that will add permanent office space for some specialties. Yeah. Let's say, for instance, a heart specialty or an orthopedic specialty. They will be able to have space in that building and either lease it or own it, either lease it from the St. Vincent's or own it themselves. And then there will be additional space upstairs for other specialty doctors to come in, which frees up the space that's inside the the hospital already for other specialties. So you might have a respiratory therapist or like the eye doctor comes yeah. periodically. So we're trying to look ahead to have space because we want this hospital to be sustainable.
And that will advance. And in fact, that clinic space you were talking about is probably one of the reasons that we have HeartSouth group in Chilton County now, because you know they were based out of Alabaster, and a large majority of their patients come from Chilton County, and they immediately took on some of that clinic space and bringing heart doctors down. My heart doctor comes there. It's a lot more convenient to see them in Clanton than it is drive to Alabaster. And of course, they grew so much in the clinic space that they decided to arrange for another building and actually put several doctors in Clanton at the same time and staff and doing all the testing and everything. So that was just a spinoff from what happened from the healthcare authority putting the hospital there and making sure that we had the clinic space available. And so I'm excited about the new office building because it will bring in a lot more specialists. And that's what you know you have to deal with in any medical situation is you're going to have a specialist still. You know, even at my age, and you're not quite there yet, but you're getting close. I mean, I've got a heart doctor, I've got a neurologist, I've got a pulmonologist, you know, got the general practitioner and have a eye doctor, there's a name for that, my brain went dead. Ophthalmologist, there we go.
Ophthalmologist.
And it's awesome that we're going to, you know, eventually have all that available right here at home. Mm-hmm. And as the hospital grows, more procedures will be able to be done there as well, more critical procedures.
Oh, yes.
So it's just wonderful that we have that facility and that facility is in the growing mode.
Yes. Yes.
Well, let's hit one more subject. We talked about the healthcare authority and the important role they played in getting our hospital in, and we've got another authority that actually you're going to serve on, I understand, that's coming up. That's the Chilton County Building Authority. Is that the proper name?
Public Building Authority.
Public
yes.
Building Authority.
I was on the committee to talk about building another courthouse. Of course, I was put on the committee because I've been in that courthouse the last 30 years and see the areas of need and traffic patterns and how many people we need to provide for on any given court day. And so the committee presented the information that to the Chilton County Commission at a work session, and then later presented it to the Chilton County Commission, and they passed a resolution for there to be formed a public building authority, which will allow for us to have a design build construction of a new facility. Design build meaning that you don't have to have a hard set of plans that goes out for a bid and then different construction companies bid on it. And if there's ever a change in the plans, you have to have a change order with your bid. With a design build, you can change as you go, and what you do is you end up selecting a construction company and have an agreement with them on what their fee would be above the cost.
And that way you can save a lot of money and a whole lot of time.
That makes a world of difference. The county and this along has got an agreement for some property out close to Jeff State coming in on Highway 145 along there where Jeff State is for the placement of the building. And we're looking forward to that.
Well, we're well in need of a new courthouse. As we talked, as kids, I ran around in that one while it was being built in 60, 61, right in that era of time. And, that's a long time for building, and it's been well used. I think the county could easily say we've gotten our money's worth out of that building, but it has roof problems, and it has had some real bad leaking problems in rain, and of course, through my career, I had opportunity to do some work, physical work in the courthouse, and so I've been in between those ceilings, and I know what's there, and it's a mess. The old plaster ceilings and all the technology of even the construction is out of date. And of course, when you take something that's that old, you've got heating and air conditioning that has been patched and patched on the patches and patched on the patches that were patched on the patches. And there's a point where you just got to say, okay, enough's enough. We got the goody out of this. It's kind of like your car. You can drive it. But when the wheels start falling off and you put them back on two or three times, it may be time to buy a car.
I do know, being on this courthouse committee, that the county commission has looked at several different avenues, from renovation, adding on to that building, moving the outside walls out one way or the other, 20 feet in the front and back, and trying to get to the closing up some parking space area outside the building. They've talked about that. They've talked about renovation of two other existing buildings in the county, and that was going to be an issue with some traffic. We'll be able to make plans ahead of time.
They have plenty of parking.
Plenty of parking.
That is an issue, especially when it's court's going on, because downtown Clanton's a busy area. You've got the city hall and all the city business taking place across the street. Then if you got a function going on at the church, then that's there. The courthouse has utilized some of the church's parking. Of course, the church utilized some of the courthouse parking, which has been good. But it's just landlocked in. And then, two, I would, if I was a worker in the courthouse, it would be a fearful thought to have to carry on day-to-day functions while renovations going on of a mass proportion.
That's right. There was some discussion about that, and that included maybe moving the court system down to the Alabama Power Company Water Course building for a while at one point. There's mention about moving some of the activity over to the City Hall building for a while, and this way it's going to be a whole lot easier for
you go build what you need, walk out of one and walk in the other.
Right.
Two, you mentioned earlier on that there's fixing to be some more circuit judges in the 19th Circuit. Well,
there's a bill before the legislature right now to add one. If I think it's already passed the Senate, looking to pass the House, to add another circuit judge for the November 24 election, and then to add the second one in November 26. That would add five. That would be a total of five circuit judges.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of tough for you to have court in the same courtroom, somebody else would have a court in at the same time. So you got to have another courtroom.
Well, keep in mind now that Elmore County's got four courtrooms and two district judges that stay there. So you got two courtrooms for the other three judges. Autauga's got three places to have court with one district judge and three other circuit judges. Yeah, of course, Chilton, we've got two spots to have court, and that doesn't count. The probate judge has got his own place down on the second floor.
Yeah, and then you've got the district court along with the circuit court.
Yes, I was talking about. Judge Speaks has his. Yeah, he's got court every day.
So you've got. You've got very limited space in Chilton County for courtrooms. I guess probably just about every day of the week the courtrooms are pretty much active.
There's something going on in the district court every day, and with three circuit judges plus the referee that does child support collection, there's pretty much somebody in court, the larger courtroom,
Pretty much four
out of 5 days.
Yeah, so we definitely need more space in the court system.
Right.
Not to mention the tax revenue commissioner's office is cramped for space. The probate judge is cramped for space.
Keep in mind, part of your revenue commissioner's office is not even in the courthouse.
Yeah, they've got the tag and title office is over across the street on the catty corner, across on the corner. So, because they've outgrown, and they've still outgrown.
Yes.
In fact, they just did some expansion to that building to help handle just the traffic for tags and titles. So we definitely need the space, and there it goes. Now, here's the loaded question. We got a couple of minutes left here, but the new courthouse plan, is there some thoughts as to how the funding is going to take place? You know anything of that?
I'm not exactly sure how that is, but this is what I understand. People are buying more and more online, and the sales tax that is collected for your purchases online, if that item gets to be delivered in Chilton County, the tax has to be sent to Chilton County. So there is a check, an amount of money that comes from online sellers, online retailers, that the county is counting on as being a minimum amount. And they're looking to pledge those out of state sales tax collections to build the courthouse.
Well, that would not only be out of state, I guess that would also include, well, out of county, whatever. So that's an advantage. If you're not going to shop at home and put your tax monies in Chilton County, shop online instead of going to Birmingham, Montgomery, because that way at least the tax money comes back home.
That's correct.
So that's good. All right, well, Sibley, we have used up our time, and I appreciate you spending your time with us so much, and we'll do this again because I know we've got other things that we can talk about. We appreciate our listeners for your time tuning in to This Is Our Town. We air every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We run on Sunday afternoons at 5, and you can always go online and listen to a podcast of any of the Our Town episodes simply by going to peachtalk.live and click on the date that you want to listen to. Thanks once again, Sibley. We appreciate you so much, and we appreciate our listeners for listening to Peach Talk. This is Our Town.